chapter 1. I'm sure many of you have read this passage of Scripture many times down through the years. Today is what we call Pentecost Sunday. 50 days after Moses delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, during the night of the Passover of the death angel, God delivered the law to Moses on the top of Mount Sinai. And then the children of Israel began to celebrate 50 days after the Passover. When they celebrated the Passover down through the years, they would celebrate thanksgiving and praise to God in an offering of the harvest time. Jesus offered His own life during the Passover. Remember, He took His blood into the very Holy of Holies, ripped the veil in two, and went into the judgment seat of Christ, and there offered His blood as a cleansing for the sins of mankind. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
50 days later, He sent the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost on the early church. Jesus, before He left, these are His last words to the church. How many know that usually the last things we say are the most important? These are His last words to His disciples. And He tells them that they are to go back to Jerusalem and there to tarry. That is, sit down and stay seated until you get what you sat down for. Tarry until they be what? Endued with power from on high. And then His last words, right before He lifted off in a cloud of God's Shekinah glory and ascended to heaven, these are the words He spoke to His disciples. But you shall receive power after when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. How many want some power? We're going to find out what kind of power in just a moment. Holy Spirit, come. We've already felt Your presence in our midst today. And we're asking You, Holy Spirit, come into our fellowship. Minister to us. And Lord, as the 120 were gathered in the upper room seeking this endowment of power, come into Emmanuel Chapel and fill us with Your presence. Fill us with Your power. Anoint us with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we may go forth from here as those 120 declaring the goodness of the Lord, declaring the message of the risen Christ. Heavenly Father, we are not capable within ourselves. We, even though we may be educated, we don't have the ability. We do not have the wherewithal, Lord, to deliver the message of Christ in the power that is needed to convict men of sin and to deliver them from the bondage of wickedness. But give to us that anointing of Your Spirit, that we may leave here full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And with our hearts hearts and our mouths filled with the message of Christ. Glory. And we'll deliver the hearts and souls of men and women from sin through the blood of Jesus, our living Savior. And everybody said, amen. Amen. In the New Testament, there are two different Greek words for power. One of them is known as exousia. It is from the word that we get the word, from the ancient word where we derive the word for exertion. You might think that this has to do with strength, but it really doesn't. Exousia has to do with the power of authority. It is the power that is conferred or given to someone by another. A power of position, a power of recognition, a supervisory power, the ability to say, go do, and have the authority to have others go do. Jesus had previously given the disciples power that is exousia, authority. Authority to cast out demons. Authority to heal the sick in Matthew 10 and 1. After his resurrection, Jesus told the disciples that all power, all authority is given unto him both in heaven and in earth. So, when the disciples asked Jesus after his resurrection if he would now establish his kingdom, Jesus told his disciples that it was not for them to know that which is set, that time which is set by the Father's power or authority. In other words, Jesus was telling his disciples that authority belongs to the Father to say when he will establish his kingdom on this earth. So that is an example of what exousia, that kind of authority and power that Jesus was speaking of. But that's not the word he used here in Acts 1:8. The kind of power that Jesus promises that his disciples will receive is found in ouis. The expanded translation of the Greek language gives us insight into the kind of power Jesus had reference to. In other words, he said, but you shall receive power of the kind which God has and exerts. Wow! That's more than authority. That's more than supervisory power. That is the power to create, the power to perform, the power to do exploits for the kingdom of God. Now, we get a little view of that kind of power that God has from Psalm 33 and 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. How many have taken a gander through a telescope sometime or other, and you've seen some of the magnificent things that are out there? The Hubble telescope, now that they have in space, has zeroed in on some magnificent galaxies and stars that are far beyond our mortal eye to be able to see. And it's amazing that all came into existence by the power of the Word of God. He spoke and it came into being. Wouldn't you like to have been standing somewhere around the Garden of Eden when Jesus started to speak the Word in heaven and said, I want an oak tree, and boom, there it was. Or maybe he said, I want the world filled with oak trees, and boom, they were. And maybe he said, I want Florida to have palm trees, and boom, there they were. It's amazing that God just spoke. And that power that he had, the power of his word, created out of absolutely nothing, everything. everything that exists. Now that's some kind of power. Amen? In Psalm 135 and 6, whatever the Lord pleases, He does. In heaven and in earth, in the seas and in the deep places. I've been out 30 miles, or I've been out further than that, but I've been out on the ocean where those waves are rolling like 10-foot waves. And I've talked to merchant marines that have been out on the ocean, 100-foot waves. How many would like to be in that experience someday? Huh? Just have a good... have them tie you to the deck. I want to see that 100-foot wave, and all of a sudden there it is, and you're going like this. God speaks and anything He desires. Have you looked at the little red bird?
Yes.
And you seen they have red feathers? Where did God get the dye to make them red? And every one of them, you know. How about that little hummingbird that flies up to the little red flower, and man, its wings are flapping. It's not supposed to be able to fly. But there it is. God can do anything He wants to do. The bumblebee is not supposed to be, it's not shaped aerodynamically. It doesn't have enough wing to hold its body up. But guess what? They fly. Because God said, I want them to fly. Amen? I believe with all of my heart. Well, you heard the story about the little boy that was in Sunday school, and he come home and mama asked him, what did the teacher teach you? Well, the teacher told us that Moses had to get across the Red Sea, so they called in a whole bunch of engineers, and they got together some timbers, and they somehow nailed them all together and got it all across the Red Sea. And then the children of Israel marched across the bridge, and just about the time the last one stepped off, the demolition squad was called in to blow up the bridge. So's the Egyptian. Your teacher didn't really teach you that. And the little boy said, well, if I told you what they told me, you wouldn't believe that either. But God decided, I want to get a million people across here. He said, Moses, hold out your stick. Hold out the rod. And overnight, God sent a wind and divided the Red Sea, that the children of Israel, and they didn't walk any mud. It was dry on the bottom. Hallelujah. I can imagine. Can you imagine a little Israeli boy walking through that water, and there's a great big old grouper looking right out at him out of the side of the water? And there's fish swimming all around. You talk about an aquarium. Wow. But God said, I want a path. And He made a path for the children of Israel. God can do whatever He wants. That's the kind of power that is in this verse and this word that we're talking about here that Jesus gave to His disciples. In Habakkuk 3 and 6, the prophet said, He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. Amen. How many has ever visited Devil's Backbone up here on 461 Old Ritchie Road? You ever been up there and saw that river of rock that comes down through there? I've stood there a number of times and I've said to myself, now how did that happen? How did that happen? Well, Habakkuk told us. I've been on top of the Rockies and I've looked out over those mountains. How in the world did... Well, it's just simple. Habakkuk said, God spoke. I can just see God reaching down with His hand. How many's ever played in the sandbox? Some of you have missed out on things in life. Let me tell you what. I used to get my trucks, you know. And, well, my dad, he didn't have trucks and cars to run through the sand. He had bottles. That's what he'd get, sticks and bottles. And, you know, a Coke bottle was his car, his truck. And, you know, you can go brum, 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 with him just as you can a toy car. But played in there, have you ever taken your hand and just cup that sand up? I can imagine God, when he speaks, he just takes his hands and goes, and there's the Rockies. Hallelujah. God can do whatever he wants. He's got the power. How many want a little bit of that power? Amen. How many want a touch of that power? Amen. That kind of power that can do whatever needs to be done. Jesus promised the disciples on that day this dunamis, the same word from which we derive the word dynamite. Dunamis is the word that is used by Jesus here. That explosive, that power that can energize. And Jesus was saying to them, I'm going to give you transforming power, energizing you with the ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. That's the kind of power that John, Peter and John had on the day when they went up to the temple to pray. Remember that story? A crippled man, crippled from his mother's womb, was seated at the entrance to the temple, begging for pieces of money that he could live for that day. And when Peter and John approached him and he was begging for money, Peter looked on him, fastened his eyes and said, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I do have. Oh, what did he have? He had dunamis. Amen. He had the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he reached out, got a hold of his hand, and that man received strength into his legs. And he went leaping and walking and praising God because somebody had received the power of the Holy Spirit within his life. Jesus says this kind of power comes only after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is a supernatural impartation of God's power to his disciples. Here's some of the things that happened on the day of Pentecost when that power initially fell on the disciples, on the 120. They heard a sound as of a mighty wind. The word that is used there is synonymous with like the winds of a hurricane. Have you ever been in one? I've been through a couple of them, and let me tell you, that wind can howl and it can furl the trees. I've watched some trees swaying back and forth and say, oh, how much more can they take? The power of the wind, that was a sound that came down. Can you imagine being gathered together with 120 people? You've been praying and seeking God. God said, I'm going to give you power, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you begin to hear the howling of a wind. And on top of that, the Bible says that a supernatural fire hovered down over the disciples. And it was like tongues of fire set over their heads in that day. Can you imagine the impression that would make? How many of you would like to see a demonstration of God's power in Emmanuel Chapel like that? Huh? And some of you would hit the door. I'm not sticking around there. Oh, God, send us a rekindling. Amen. Of His fire in our hearts and our lives. Amen? Amen. Also, Beyond that, beyond the sound of the wind and the tongues of supernatural fire, they began to speak in languages they had never learned as the Holy Spirit enabled them. Hallelujah. Does God still do that kind of thing? I've told you before, my grandmother, Blanche Mills, did not have an education, period. She could not read or write. She made her living raising veal calves on a little farm that she bought up there in Lane's Run. But years ago, my parents, my dad and mother, used to put up gospel tents. They had a gospel tent, and they'd go around over the countryside, put up a gospel tent, and have a tent meeting and preach the gospel. And so back in Lane's Run, years ago, right at the end of Lane's Run, Dad pitched the tent there in the field. One of the neighbors that Mom and Dad worked for, he had a big farm. He had a job from Washington, D.C. He was a well-educated gentleman, could speak several languages, and they invited him to come to this tent meeting. Mr. Salgada lived at Dry Run. So he came one night, and during the tent meeting, someone, my grandmother being the someone, gave a message in tongues. And someone else in the tent meeting interpreted the message to let the people know what God was saying to the congregation that night. Mr. Salgada, after the meeting was over, he wanted to know how my grandmother knew that language, because he understood it. And he said, that individual that interpreted, how in the world did they know and learn that language? It's a language from across the sea. It's a foreign country, and there's no one around here that speaks that language. And yet I could understand it, and it was interpreted word for word as to what she said. Now, that is the supernatural power of God. Amen? And God wanted to send a message so Mr. Salgada would know that God is on the throne. He wasn't a very religious man. Besides that, they gave mighty witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, friend, that's what it's all about. That is the initial reason for God sending the power, the dunamis, of the Holy Spirit upon the early church. It's not just to speak in tongues. It's not just to show exploits in the house of God. It is to have power to deliver the message of the resurrected Jesus Christ to those around us in the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now that kind of an experience that they received on the day of Pentecost was far different from the power of the Holy Spirit or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when we are saved. Yes, God equips His disciples for service through this special anointing. But when you're saved, that's the work of the Holy Spirit as well. He comes in and does the redeeming work, the cleansing work, the fulfilling of taking away the old man and putting in a new man into our lives. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But after that initial work of the Holy Spirit, we need a supernatural anointing of the Spirit of God to do what God has told us to do. Peter quoted Joel 2:28. In Acts 2:17, he preached that great message on that day of Pentecost after the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Peter said this, he preached that God would pour out His Spirit. That's signifying an anointing. You know, in the Old Testament, when they anointed you, they used a quart of oil. We have a little box. And, you know, we practice a little dab will do you. In the Old Testament, when you got anointed, they took a quart more than this. And you came for an anointing, they poured it over top of your head. I'm not going to pour it on anybody. And it would, the Aaron said, it ran down over his beard, ran down over his garments, and dripped off on the floor. You talking about an anointing. How many of you'd like to be anointed like that? I see a couple of hands. Next time you want anointed, just let me know ahead of time. I went down to get a whole bottle of olive oil. Amen. And you better not go to the beautician that week. You're going to have to go afterwards. Amen. But anointing was flooding, pouring over. And that's what Peter said God would do with the Holy Spirit. He would pour out. This anointing would equip sons and daughters to what? To prophesy. Young men to see visions and old men to dream dreams. I had an evangelist in my church on the Eastern Shore one time, and he was in my study praying, and I had to go away and come back, and he was in there down on the floor, you know, praying and seeking the Lord when I left, and when I came back and opened the door, he was sleeping. And oh, he got embarrassed. He said, "Oh, Pastor Lay," I said, "my goodness," he said, "I fell asleep and I should be praying." I said, "Well, how can you fulfill scriptures if you're not sleeping?" He says, "Young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. To dream dreams, you got to sleep." I said, "Did you get any dreams?" Apparently nothing from the Lord, that's for sure. God said through Joel, "On my men servants and on my maid servants, I will what? I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall what? They shall prophesy or preach." Prophesy or preach. You see, there's the key. When you're anointed with this dunamis, when you're anointed with this outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon your life, upon your soul, pours it out in your life till it floods you, it overwhelms you. Hallelujah! Then the thing that you desire to do is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah! I walked into the nursing home the other day, and a man was sitting there. He didn't know who I was, and he was using all kinds of language. And I just stood there for a while, and after the nurses and everybody went out, you know, he said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Pastor Jonathan Lay." He cleaned up his language just like that. Wasn't that amazing? Just telling him my name, Pastor, cleaned him up for the moment. There's power. Amen? When you get around people. There one great evangelist back in colonial days by the name of Finney. He went to preach in places and power of God would fall and hundreds would get saved. That man would walk down through a factory. Just walk through, not say a word. And people would begin to weep and cry and beg God for forgiveness. What was it? It was the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. What kind of power do we have from God in our lives? That anointing that floods us until that dunamis just emanates from our hearts and our lives, bringing conviction on the hearts of people. Jesus declared that the giving of this power had a purpose. He didn't just give it so you could be blessed. Amen? Now, I enjoy the blessing, don't get me wrong. There have been times when I've been praying and talking to God, and wow, you almost have to say, Lord, hold off a little bit.
Amen?
Amen? I called Brother Louie last night to request prayer for this little baby that was choking, and he told me this morning, he said he got to talking to God, and wow, I wouldn't doubt there were fire on top of the house roof. Said the Spirit of God came down, and he and Sally had a time there in the house talking to God. There's a purpose why Jesus gave this anointing. The purpose was to transform fearful disciples into fearless witnesses who now have power. You shall be what? Witnesses unto me. I want you to see the picture here. The disciples were fearful. Jesus had just been crucified. They were hiding. They were afraid. They were next on the list. They hid. Thomas didn't even show up to Sunday night church. Amen. And he missed out on the blessing of Jesus appearing to the disciples. So they were fearful. They were afraid. But as soon as they received this dunamis, hallelujah, notice they what happened to them. They became fearless. Hallelujah. They received a power, an unction that gave them boldness to declare the message of Jesus. The 120 on the day of Pentecost all witnessed boldly to those traveling in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Peter got up. Peter's that one that cursed and swore that he didn't know Jesus. Denied Christ. He's the one that became so timid and fearful when a little handmaid like Shannon said, "You know Jesus." He said, No. Cursed and swore. But after receiving the dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit, he stood up on the day of Pentecost along with the rest of the disciples and began to preach, "You men of Galilee, you have taken Jesus with wicked hands and crucified him and put him to death. But God hath raised him up again from the dead." Hallelujah. That day, 3,000 people got saved. Somebody say, praise the Lord. What a difference. Peter and John preached Christ on the Solomon's porch at the temple. And while they were preaching, a man was healed. And they were called, a lame man was healed. 5,000 more in the first week of church. 8,000 people got saved by their boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter and John then were called in before the Sanhedrin court. And when they were called in before the court to give a witness, they said, "We're only preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You fellows took him and crucified him, but God raised him from the dead." The Sanhedrin court said, "You go out and don't you dare preach anymore in the name of Jesus." Guess what Peter said? Full of the Holy Ghost. I can see the Holy Ghost coming all over him, standing there before the Sanhedrin. He said, "We cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those receiving the power of the Holy Spirit had to maintain a life reflecting that of Jesus Christ. In other words, don't tell me you're full of the Spirit and then go live like the devil. Amen? Don't tell me you're full of the Holy Spirit of God and have this anointing of God's power and then go do things that are contrary to the divine commands of Jesus Christ. That was part of the problem in Corinth. And Paul addressed the Corinthian church. They lacked the godly character of love. Peter said, Paul said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanking cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. So it's not about, well, I show up for church every Sunday morning. I'm sure before I leave to shake Pastor Lay's hand. Bless your soul. If you don't, I'm coming out to the parking lot to get it. Amen. Because I love your friendship, but no, that doesn't cut it. Well, Pastor Lay, I put a George Washington in the plate every Sunday. George Washington's the most popular man in church. Al can tell you that. We get more $1 bills than others. Amen. We need some, what's some of the others, Al? Oh, yeah. You heard the man. Well, Pastor, we used to have a gentleman. He's dead and in the grave now. Don't anybody try to figure out who he is. But every time he was going to give $100 to the church, he'd come to me personally and hand it to me. He wanted me to know that he was giving it. Didn't make any difference. Amen? Amen. So it's not by good works. Amen. You can sign up for nursery every Sunday. Please do. I see those hands. You can sign up to do the grass mowing every week. Al will love it. But that's not going to get you in. That won't get the job done. If you don't have love, the love of Christ, the love of others, the true, genuine love that Paul speaks of in Corinthians, it amounts to absolutely nothing. Christ's purpose has never changed, and is still today the same purpose for receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is that you, with authority, with courage and with convicting power, can speak to the hearts of men and they'll be convicted of their sins and cry out to Jesus Christ. Have you received the power of the Holy Spirit since you believed? Amen. How many will stand this morning and say, I want God to anoint me with the anointing of this dunamis power so that I can tell others about Jesus Christ? Stand to your feet. Amen. I am hungry for this anointing power. I am hungry for the dunamis in my life. God, I need and I want this anointing. Raise both hands as lightning rods to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm going to start praying right now. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to get with you until I receive this same anointing of the Spirit of God. I want the anointing of the Holy Ghost on my life. I want to be able to tell my neighbor about Jesus, and my neighbor will begin to weep and cry and say, I need Christ. I need this power, this anointing, and I'm going to get on my knees in my prayer closet. I'm going to seek God just like the 120 in the upper room until He endues me with spiritual power. Everybody who wants it, determine I'm going to receive this holy Pentecostal power by the power of Jesus Christ, who'll give it to me when I seek Him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.